Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Evan, and this week we do not have Andrew with us, but we are still so glad that you've joined us back on the BCC pod. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive, you're at the gym, or you're just relaxing at home, we are so glad that you're here with us. This week, we're joined by a very special guest. Martin Newitz is our family pastor and has been at Bethany for 16 and a half years now. Super talented leader, speaker, has a huge heart and passion for our church and our city, and we're super glad that he's joined us today. Thanks for being here, dude.
Yeah. Good to be here.
So this past weekend, we were talking about envy. Were you given envy because you were thought to be the most envious on staff?
I think that one goes to Martin. I could probably do all of them if that were the standard. Martin again, back up.
It's like the CR introductions, but every week you're like, and this one too. It's crazy. How did you feel from the past weekend?
You never know who's going to be up again this week. It's like Martin again.
Lent becomes a game of who struggles the most on staff.
That's right.
Yeah. How'd you feel about the weekend? How'd you feel about preaching? Did you get any good conversations with people?
I'm probably the worst judge at the how did it go question. I'm probably my worst critic when it comes to how I feel it went. But just judging by some of the comments afterwards, it seemed to have impacted people in a meaningful way. I was reminded a few times after the first service, and if you were in the first service, I do apologize. I was reminded that I did forget the prayer of confession in the service. And so I'm sorry, if you're in the first service, you're on your own for confessing this week.
You might want to take that one in your own hands just in case.
That's right. And so, but I made sure to get it in for the made sure I got it in for the second service.
That's awesome. I really liked, listening to you speak. I really liked, at the start to the whole section where you just talked about shame and the link of shame and envy. I thought that was, a really good dive into it, and also just like a really good dive in, not for just how it connects with envy, but how it kind of spreads out into all of them as well. Yeah. And like, kind of the consistent conversations we've been having around how shame can destroy and all that sort of stuff, I think is really important. And I think it's really important just as we, try and overcome these sins that we're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
And, we have a bit of a segment or a tradition with here where we talk about a sermon in four words. This was actually like, I think on the first pod, I had said like two sentences or less, and it was like way too easy for Andrew. So I kept cutting him down. If you could summarize kind of your sermon, you can take as many words as you want. Cause I'm not as mean to guests as I am to Andrew when it comes to this, but how would you kind of sum up your sermon?
Definitely say trust that the person of Jesus, the gifts that he has blessed you with, the plan that he has for your life, the journey that you're on with him is more than enough for you. Yeah, I think
that's a perfect summary.
Yeah,
I think it's probably a little more than four words. But
a little more than four words. I could pare it down to four.
I think it was probably about one sentence, though. So.
Yeah.
So the other kind of segment that we have is cut for time. So was there anything within the realm of envy and kind of the topic that you wish you could have gotten into, but you just didn't have time?
Yeah, and I loved some of the questions that you had sent to me, because a couple of them actually fed right into some of the stuff that I'm like, okay, I can't really talk about this too much because of time.
Yeah.
One, just that sort of difference between the idea that the envy is subtle and how sometimes it appears as motivation, ambition, rather than envy. So I did a little bit of work in that to say, okay, yeah, like just for me to understand, okay, like what is the difference of it? And then the other piece was around the whole social media piece of how that just seems to fuel comparison, competition, envy, right? And how you can take steps to put healthier boundaries around that in your life. And so, yeah. And so we'll chat a little bit about that later, but yeah, those two pieces. So,
yeah, no, I think it's so good. Cause I think, this probably comes up and I probably say this every week we do this podcast, but there is with each one of these, each one of these deadly sins, there seems to be like a blatant and a hidden version of it, or an in your face and a subtlety version of it. Right. And, I think oftentimes the ones, there are some of those, like we talk about pride or like envy and things like that, that are so normalized culturally and are just kind of so baked into how we operate or the things that we celebrate and that sort of thing. Yeah. So yeah, it's, some of it can be so subtle and can be so sneaky in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And that's why I think, that's why I think in the sex service, at least anyway, I was trying to be a little bit more forceful and use a little bit more forceful language around envy.
Right.
And I think I said a few times that envy is a liar.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I think just trying to bring it to the surface a bit and trying to shed some light on some of the negative aspects of envy and what it looks like in our life. Because I think it is so normalized. It is so subtle. It is so under the surface and, motivating in a way that often we don't realize that it's coming from kind of a genesis of envy and of, that's almost been repressed in a lot of ways in our life.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I wanted to kind of use language that was in your face a little bit, to expose it.
I guess.
Yeah.
I just yesterday recorded the, Lenten reflection for tomorrow. Go listen to it on Spotify. and I think it starts out, it says that, envy is a distorted mirror, right? That it's like, it's showing something about yourself that isn't true, right?
Right.
Like you're saying envy is a liar, right? And I think, even when we were talking about pride or greed in certain ways, that like sometimes that strong language really helps, right? To be like, no, wait, let's actually put this in its right place and its proper kind of context.
Well, and that distorted mirror piece, like what it is, like a mirror does, it shows us an aspect of ourselves. In some way, it's truthful. Mm-hmm. And in other ways, it's so deceptive.
Yeah.
Right. And so oftentimes what we do, like with issues or things of pride and envy, we take it and then we sort of, we try to fix the mirror and adjust the mirror to make it look not so ugly and not so distorted.
Yeah.
Rather than taking the need that it exposes, the truth that it exposes to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where we set off the top where that conviction versus shame piece comes in. Right.
Yeah.
Cause like all of those areas in our life where we feel the need to, whether it's envy or pride or greed, like whatever's feeding those things in our life, Jesus is the answer for those. Yeah. His provision, his presence is more than enough to meet that inner life, to meet that deficit, as it were, in our life.
Yeah.
So rather than allowing envy to you know, take that and break off that connection community with others, right? And we can take it to him and he can actually heal that and redeem that in our life.
So good.
So.
Before we keep going today, we wanted to let you know about something really cool that's happening within our community. If you're listening to this podcast, the chances are you love going deeper, deeper into scripture, deeper into theology, deeper into topics and themes that actually transform your life. So if that's you, we think you'd love the audit courses happening at Accelerate College. For a small fee, you can join in on amazing courses taught by passionate and grounded leaders without the pressures or costs that come with a full degree program. Just rich teaching, deep dives, and time to soak it all in. So Martin, with you being the guest today, you're kind of the dean, and I think I put dean and organizer or shaman or chancellor or grandmaster or sensei or insert whatever word of Accelerate. Why do you think that people should check out audit courses?
I think you said it there, Evan, perfectly in your introduction. If people want to take a deeper dive, if there's a topic, you know, book of the Bible, something that interests them and they want to learn more about it, I think auditing is a great way to do it. I think our fee is like $200, and that gives you 4 weeks of deep content, amazing interaction with people who have either written textbooks or have taught, are passionate about the subject, plus some community, other students who are also in that same space as you, where you can have these great conversations and take home some amazing teaching. So it's great. Yeah, like you said, if you can't do a full program, if that's not kind of where you're at, but there's topics, things that interest you, then yeah, jump in.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you. I know it's great for our community of students as well, just to have new perspectives on things in discussion. And so, yeah, you are always welcome.
Yeah, it's super cool too. We've had some people audit courses already,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely check it out. By listening to this podcast, you're already carving out time to grow and invest in yourself. So why not take this next step? You can head to acceleratecollege.ca and check out the current classes you can audit and more details around scheduling and costs. The link is in the description of this podcast, so make sure to check it out. So we got some questions today, some from the congregation and some from myself that I just threw in for fun. So the first question we have is, how does envy differ from healthy ambition? And where is the line between admiration and idolatry?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so this is one of the areas that I'm like, if we had more time on Sunday, we could dive into it a little bit. But I think, yeah, so envy, healthy ambition, again, envy is subtle and it often disguises itself in healthy ambition, motivation, aspiration, just trying to better yourself. And oftentimes, and that can be the case, like you can be, that you're just, you know, there's a healthy ambition drive to better yourself. Envy is a little bit more subtle. And so some of the things that I think is, one is the emotional genesis of it. So that feeling of wanting to better yourself, to move forward. So envy often arises from that lack of or inadequacy when we're comparing ourselves to one another. Where healthy ambition, it's more self-motivating and a desire for personal growth, achievement. Again, envy often is accompanied by resentment or frustration towards another person or another situation who maybe possesses the desired outcome or quality of life or situation that you desire, right? And so, again, it's rooted in comparison and a lack or a seeming lack of what you have or where you are or who you are. Where healthy ambition is driven by kind of positive aspirations rather than comparison with others.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's more teamwork versus competitive in that sense. And again, it's focused on what others have and what you lack versus, focused on setting and achieving your own personal goals. And so that's sort of that emotional genesis of it. Right. And so as you reflect on, okay, is this envy in my life or am I just driven?
Yeah.
Right. Am I just that personality that wants to achieve? Some of those emotional questions you can sort of ask yourself with that. Again, motivations, envy tries to bring people down while raising yourself up, right? And so is there gossip? Is there sabotaging in relationships? Oftentimes that's envy driven. Where healthy motivation, again, it's a desire to improve oneself, but also to learn and achieve goals together. So it's, again, that teamwork piece. And then, how it affects you, right? And so envy often is driven by low self-esteem and unhappiness, right? Whereas healthy ambition, it leads to confidence and that you're progressing towards goals, right? And so if you're feeling, oh, like, hey, I want to get ahead, I want to achieve something, but you always have this sense of low self-esteem and unhappiness of where you are, and no matter what things you achieve and no matter what goals you set and attain, there's always that lack of sort of esteem and happiness in that, then it could be envy driven rather than, hey, I'm progressing towards my goals. There's a sense of confidence and sense of growth and a sense of, hey, I'm not who I was or where I was. Then it's like, okay, yeah, you're ambitious, you're motivated, you're inspiration. And so those are some of the things anyway that I see. And then And then probably the most obvious is the effects that it has on relationships, right? And so envy, if it puts a strain on your relationships, if it fosters anything like jealousy or mistrust or competitiveness, it's probably envy driven rather than healthy ambition, where it's more collaborative and it seeks the benefit of others. Yeah. And it's sort of based in that teamwork, right? Where you can rejoice in other people's success rather than, talking bad about them or pulling them down, or again, just loathing that, this should have been me.
Yeah.
Or why am I not getting ahead? Why is he getting or she getting all the breaks?
Yeah.
And so that's often where it becomes most apparent, is in how the strain that it puts on relationships.
Right.
If again, some of those emotional questions you can sort of ask yourself, and that highlights some of that difference between envy and healthy ambition or aspiration in our life, right? And so,
incredible answer.
Yeah.
You can tell that you're a dean of a college. But I think two things that I think are that I really sparked something in me as you were talking. The first, that envy steals joy in a lot of ways, right? And that, like, this feeling of lack and this feeling of, like, not having enough ultimately ends up, no matter how hard you try and grind and all that sort of stuff, that, like, at the end, when you get to the place that you thought you should be, that envy actually takes that joy away and takes the celebration away, which I think not a lot of people, and it's something that I don't think I would have recognized or put a kind of that find a point onto. And and also just that, like, envy, you can be super connected and you can be doing all these things that are considered very successful and everything like that, but ultimately envy slowly isolates you from others, whereas, like, sometimes I think the material outcomes of what you're striving for can sometimes make it look like you're not isolated, but at the end of the day, like, that envy slowly will isolate you from others, whether it's emotionally or physically or that sort of thing. And we talk a lot about, like, envy be, or these sort of things almost being lenses that we use or kind of postures that we take when we make decisions, and how the need for self-reflection is so important when we come to, when it comes to dealing with and trying to rid them from our lives. And when you talk about the emotional genesis, right, that idea of just that, like, envy, while it can be tied to a lot of physical things similar to greed or other ones, that, like, it first has to start with you self-reflecting and taking a look and saying, hey, how are my emotions at play in this right now?
100%, right? And envy often feeds some of those other sins and those other things in our life, right?
Yeah.
And we can deal with those things, right? And not necessarily kind of get to the root cause of it, right? That feeling, that always that sense of lack, always that sense of inadequacy, insufficiency, right? That I am never, and I can never kind of have enough or be enough. And then it feeds off comparison. It feeds off of what we see around us.
That note, our next question kind of deals with a lot of comparison and kind of the ways that envy comes out socially for us. So this one says, in the context of a digital age, how do we engage with social media and other social tools in a way that doesn't feed envy?
Yeah, and this is another, like journeying with students, journeying with young adults, and even a lot of parents and, like, older, like myself, right? Like, media, social media has been very pervasive in our life, and when experts talk about how social media and how consuming social media has really rewired our brain and rewired the way we think and approach things. Definitely this is an area that it bubbles to the surface and it, 100%. It, our highest digital consumers are our students and our young adults, the natives to that world and that language. It affects so much so, right? And so just some things that you can do to kind of put boundaries around that, protect yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I think is curate your feed intentionally, mm-hmm. right? Follow uplifting content, unfollow or mute triggers, things in your life that you see that, you know, certain accounts or content make you feel envious or inadequate, mute or unfollow those, mm-hmm. right? Like, just cut it out of your what you're consuming. Again, follow uplifting content, follow people pages, accounts that inspire, educate, or entertain you in positive ways, not feed some of those triggers. Mm-hmm. And then diversify your perspectives, I think, is just different people who think differently, act differently, look different cultures. Again, I think is...
Listen, there are so many fail accounts on Instagram you can follow that will not make you feel envious. I'll tell you that right now.
100%. All right. And yeah, so curate your feed intentionally, right? I think not just with envy, but with all things social media, right? Just setting healthy boundaries as well, right? Limit time, screen time, taking breaks, just avoid mindless browsing, all those things, right? And then, yeah, shift your perspective, practice gratitude, celebrate other success, recognize the highlight reel, right? Like social media often portrays the best moments in others' lives, not the full picture, right? And so kind of remember that as you're as you're scrolling, as you're consuming. Focus on connection, right? Find online communities that aren't just about you consuming, but are more collaborative in nature. And then we talked about build emotional awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Recognize envy when it arises in our life. And then I think just invest in offline fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. Like things that will hobbies. Spending time with loved ones, right? Focusing on personal goals. Just some healthy things to take into account when you're on social media anyway, right?
Yeah, and I think like the just engaging with social media with intentionality. It's just like all the things that you're saying there, right? Yeah. All feed into engaging with that in an intentional way. I also think that social media, realizing that like, nothing is 100% authentic and nothing is 100% real. And most things don't cross 50%, right? So like just a healthy amount of skepticism, even in just how something makes you feel is worthwhile to say like, wait a second, that's not real. Right. Like, like even if it was, even if you're looking at a friend who's at a concert, I'm like, they still have to stop, take a photo, edit it and post it, which makes right. Like, and I think so I think being intentional, even in those spaces of like, oh, like, why is this bringing this up for me, right? When you kind of, like you said, you hit those trigger points, right? Yeah. And then the other thing is leveraging, like, social media to me is there for connection and entertainment, right? And if it's not pushing me into better connection in real life, something's gone wrong, right? 100%, so, like, the people in your life that you're close with, that you're invested with, right? Like, social media being a further way to connect with them to then push you to connect with them in real life more, right? Is always a good thing instead of just getting caught and stuck, because it's so easy to just get stuck in social media loops and that to become almost a form of like pseudo community, right? If you're starting to pull away. And then follow a bunch of fail accounts. It is interesting though, because especially with Instagram, like, and Facebook now and all these ones, like they'll feed you what they think you're gonna necessarily want to see, but what they think you're gonna engage with. And that's where it can be a bit of a beast when it comes to things we're trying to rid of our lives. Because the things that we're trying to rid of our lives might elicit more of an intense response, right? So then it'll keep feeding. That's why Facebook got so politically toxic, right? Because it was like, for the Republican, they're more likely to engage with something that disagrees with them than agrees with them, or vice versa, right? So recognizing that, like, that is also designed to make you feel bad, right? Because they think it's going to keep you there. And taking some breaks when you need it is a good idea.
And social media can be so can be so lonely. Like you basically consume it in isolation. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, consuming it communally in a sense, right. Where you're engaging in things that you can actually talk about and have real live people to engage with it with you.
Yeah.
No, you're so true. It's so right about how it's set up to engage those responses and from you. And it's, it could just lead to so much toxicity in your life. Yeah.
For real. Kind of connected in with that, you're mentioning Next Gen, and you're mentioning kind of how they're the prime market for social media and tech platforms. How can we teach the next gen to find joy in others' blessings rather than fear of being left behind?
Yeah, that's such a... It's such a great question that it's because the world around the next gen is set up for that they're almost the king and queen of their space, right? Their world, and everything is marketed geared towards them, and it's so curated to be personalized for them. And even outside of, you know, what they're engaging with online and all that around them, oftentimes even their home life and their world can be focused on them, right? Parents that drive them everywhere and, you know, engage with them and sign them up for this, for that, the other sport or activity, hobby, right? Like from an outsider's perspective, looking in on that world, you would wonder, okay, who's managing this home and who's driving this home even, right? Because everything's set up for the teen, right? For the child. And there's ways in and out of that are very healthy and good. But again, that can be, that can just lead the teen to focus on themselves, that it is all about me, that everything around me feeds to my ego and to my sense of who I am. I think first is modeling, right? Is modeling joy in others' blessings, right? As a parent, as a small group leader, as people who are in a place of influence in the life of a younger person, to actually model that yourselves, right? And so highlighting others, right? Being in a position where you're serving and giving to others, where you're talking about other success when you're enjoying that alongside them and with them. So I think that's important, right? And so it comes from a place of modeling and living out the other, right? And giving space for the other, making space for the other, that what we're doing here at church, right? What we're doing, you know, in our life's mission is to serve and to live for God ultimately, right? But is making space for the other, right? Yeah. Like seeking the blessing of the people who are around us and the city that we're in, looking to be, right? Not have that selfish ambition, right? To live as a servant, to live, the way Jesus taught us to be a blessing and a help, right? To serve others. So doing that ourselves, encouraging students to see that it is actually ultimately better to give than to receive.
Yeah.
And then when they begin to live that way, right? Continue to highlight that, affirm that in them. And, and even we've had a couple real great examples of students seeking to bless others these past couple of weeks in our student ministry. We had a young lady who's new to Bethany, her family's new to Bethany and new to our youth community. And she wrote this amazing letter and she drew out our logo, and she did it all this fanciful colors and all this stuff, and it was amazing. And she just wanted to the joy that she felt for being here and belonging to this community, mm-hmm. and the joy that she had received, she just wanted to bless us,
yeah.
and she just wanted to communicate to us that she loves it here.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
And I thought, oh, that's amazing. And yeah. then this past week, another student and her parents wrote a little card and letter, and it actually bought a shirt for me, Liverpool shirt for me, saying the same thing, just how they
not a Chelsea.
No, that wouldn't have made it out of the bag. If it was blue, it would have stayed in the bag.
They wouldn't have allowed to come back to you.
No, that's right.
Sorry, go ahead.
But again, it was the same sentiment that, you know, we like that she, and again, she's newer to our youth community, but that she's found so much joy here,
yeah.
and that she just wanted to share that. And yeah. so nice handwritten card from her, a little postcard from her parent with this gift. Yeah. And I'm like, it's so amazing, right? Yeah. Not that it was, and I appreciated the gift. I appreciated yeah. the shirt, Liverpool, right? Like it was all amazing, but just the heart behind it,
huge.
Right? The focus that she was focused on the other.
Yeah.
And so 100%, like I affirmed that all like, and yeah. I'm like, oh, that's so amazing. Like, love it. Love your heart. Right. And just seeing these two young ladies over the past few weeks, interact and engage with, you know, sending this letter, doing this postcard and the shirt and all that, but just how they're engaging with others around them
yeah.
with so much joy and so much life. I'm like, oh man, that is such a model,
yeah.
right? And such a nice way to live
yeah.
when you're focused on the other and ensuring that, and again, not in an unhealthy way, but just ensuring that they know, hey, you're important too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that's so good in such a, I don't know if ground up approach is the way to do it. I think it, we talk about what parents can do and things like that, yeah. or what we can do as people in a church community that have influence yeah. that are a part of the next gen and influencing them, that like, yeah, modeling will always be the harder approach, right?
Yeah.
Like it requires something of us. It requires something of you, but it always will be the best approach too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That it will have the best outcomes.
Yeah. And I sort of, I like the trampoline analogy, mm. right? And if you're ever on a trampoline with your buddy, right? And you want to shoot them high into the air, right?
Yeah.
Which is always so fun to do. You know, you have to kind of go low first, right? Like
yeah.
you have to kind of hit it at just the right time, but you have to go low so they are raised up.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the value that Jesus lived, Jesus taught, and that in and through this, that we can also live,
yeah.
right. That, yeah, you know, it's going to take, you know, swallowing our envy and swallowing our pride to lift others up,
yeah.
right. To rejoice with others, right. To enjoy their successes and to lift them up.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to cost us something. Right. But ultimately we're both going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
And enjoy the experience. So,
yeah. So we got one more question, today, and it says, can envy ever be redirected towards something redemptive, or must it always be surrendered? I really like this question. Cause I think, yeah.
Was this a you question?
This is a me question.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just sure if it was might a community question.
Might be something more semantic than anything,
yeah.
but that's also my kind of question. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think envy, like any other emotion, I think is not inherently bad. Mm. But again, I think as we talked about it, it sometimes signals something deeper within us,
mm.
right? And so, yeah, like I talked about on Sunday, I think typically we've left envy unchecked in mm. our life. I think when we leave it unchecked, when we don't expose it to the light, I think it can be destructive. It can be hurtful, mm. Not only to ourselves, but to others. But I also think like it can be a catalyst for growth and mm-hmm. self-improvement, right? Knowing that, that there's something lacking within us, like mm. what we do with that, I think
yeah.
becomes sort of the, whether it pushes us into focusing on all about us and that, you know, that repetitive unhealthy cycle, yeah, or whether it pushes us to say, okay, like all things that we might struggle with, you know, take it to Jesus, yeah, right? And say, okay, you know, help me with this, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, reveal in me, right, what needs to change, create in me a pure heart, right? Quoting the psalm,
yeah,
and the amazing song from the '70s.
Right? Bring it back.
but like the selfishness aspect of envy is often so natural to us, yeah, that I think, just like pride, I think that needs to be surrendered. Like, yeah, that selfishness that it feeds, that inadequacy that we feel, I think that needs to be surrendered, because ultimately, we do have everything we need, yeah, in and through Christ and what he's done for us. Like, that should be our source of hope, of, yeah, peace, of our groundedness from where we move from,
yeah,
right? And so if we're not finding that, if we're needing envy to kind of fuel that, then that does need to be surrendered, because then it does become idolatry in a, yeah, sense, right? Because we're like, okay, Jesus, what you've done is not enough for me, right? Who you said I am, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
And so we are kind of taking that out of God's hands, and we're kind of the masters of our,
yeah,
of our own fate and our, right, where we go. And so I think that part of envy needs to be surrendered. Mm-hmm. Like, that needs to be nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
Right. And I love the phrase that I'm often reminded of, is that God loves you where you are, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And that sense of, where we are right now with all our inadequacies and sins and not yets and should have done's and why did I do that? Right. Like, all of that, like, God loves you just the way you are, right? Yeah. That you don't have to improve more. You don't have to start this more. You don't have to stop that more, right?
Yeah.
While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us, yeah, right? And that's enough, right?
Yeah.
But he loves us enough not to leave us there,
right?
Right. And so those things that are ultimately hurting us, that are creating distance between God and us, putting distance between, right, his creation and us and others around us, then those things, yeah, he doesn't want to leave us there.
Yeah.
And so I think it can be redeemed, right? I think we talked about on Sunday practicing contentment and gratitude alongside of growth. I think that's important. Mm. And then also the whole collaboration over competition piece, right? Yeah. When it comes to relationships, seeking what we're just talking about, seeking the betterment of others,
yeah,
and the blessing of those around us. I think that will help you. That will help envy to be redeemed and not become destructive,
yeah,
in our life.
It strikes me, yeah, that they're, with most of these, it seems like there's like envy, the feeling or the, yeah, emotion, and then there's, yeah, envy, the practice, right? And or like, same thing with greed, right? That there's a difference between having feelings of envy and acting on them. And just coming back to what you said with the emotional genesis of it, right?
Yeah.
That I think that, the what you do with it piece is really the thing that matters. And I think when it comes to, can it be redemptive? I think that envy can be a signpost for you, right?
Yeah.
That like it can, that envy as a feeling is just information, so that it can point you to,
yeah,
the right things, but that, yeah, or it can point you to the wrong things if you kind, yeah, of let it consume and control you. And
yeah,
there was a, somebody I had heard speak that said, like anytime that she has feelings of envy, she's like, that's just pointing to a space in my life that I haven't let Jesus fully fill.
Yeah.
And then she's like, once I do that, and once I go through that work, I can sit and listen to that person speak for hours and just be delighted by them. Yeah. Right. And by the gifts that God's given them. And, yeah, that I think it's often about, the choice for us is about what are we going to do with those feelings, and how, yeah, are we going to let them, and how are we going to let Jesus point us through those things, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we wrap up today, I initially, Mills had to kind of shift around his schedule a little bit. So I initially thought there was going to be three of us, two former, in the trenches youth pastors. So I don't know if you listened to the Sherry podcast at all, where we had the really wacky ChatGPT made game. This one I tried to get ChatGPT to make, but it was so bad that I ended up just making it myself. but this, I don't have a name for this, but essentially I found some pretty great youth stories online. And we're going to do like a fill in the blank or a finish the story thing. Okay. So I'm going to give you the setup and you can tell me what you think is going to happen. And then we'll read the rest. So our first one says a youth pastor, while delivering a sermon to his youth on John the Baptist, accidentally declared, "Then Jordan baptized Jesus in the blank."
Oh, Jordan, I don't know, like a swimming pool or jacuzzi or.
So he says he ends up flipping those two words. He says, "Then Jordan baptized Jesus in the John." Unaware of his slip up, he continued preaching while the congregation sat stone faced. I also feel like if that happened in a youth group, you would never live it down. Like it would always be Jesus being baptized.
That would be, that would be your thing.
Anytime your youth boys go to the bathroom. during a service, a pastor still recovering from the flu calls the choir back on stage to sing and rushes to the restroom. What do you think happened next?
Oh yeah, classic case that he did not turn his lapel mic
classic off. Case of classic the live case. Lapel. this is from a youth takeover service. So he rushes off stage. They continue to do the rest of the night, and the entire congregation just hears his whole bathroom.
And the worst thing is when you get into conversation inside the bathroom, the live mic is still going. That's the worst. Like, or the lapel piece falls into the
yeah. Yeah. Our next one, in an attempt to engage the youth group, a pastor introduced a game that was initially called Kings and Peasants, but to make it relatable to the youth, they called it Blank and Blank.
I have no clue.
So unaware somehow that this was inappropriate, instead of calling it Kings and Peasants, he called it Pimps and Hoes.
My mind didn't go there, but yeah.
But you know what? Hey, reaching the kids.
Hey, listen, sometimes you got to do some crazy things to reach next gen.
You know, I bet the next week was just super packed.
it probably was, yes.
The last one we have says, we were conducting Youth Sunday. A lot of these are great because they happen during regular church, but just because. My teens planned everything, including doing the Lord's Supper. The problem was they didn't know how much grape juice to get and didn't get enough. About halfway through, I noticed people making horrible faces when they drank from the cup. I learned that the teens had run out, and seeing a frozen Italian ice truck, had purchased a gallon of blank.
I don't know. It's got to be something like gelato, something like gelato treat or something unfrozen. Yeah,
it's pretty close. Yeah. Seeing a frozen Italian ice truck, they had purchased a gallon of grape syrup. They used that to fill the remaining cups while not bothering to dilute it.
It's like a McDonald's orange syrup that you used to get back in the day. So thick.
So thick. I'm like, imagine taking communion and having the consistency of cough medicine.
Exactly. It's like Buckley's. It's like doing it with Buckley's.
You're like, dang, Jesus should probably go to the doctor. Something is clearly wrong.
We had, I did youth pastoring for a little while in Northern Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. And so just speaking of context, right? And like the pimps and hoes, right? Like probably just not realizing like the background, what those words right, what they mean and point to. So Northern Ireland, right, like another word for fun is crack,
right?
Yeah. And so we were making these flyers to hand out, right, to the high school. We'd stand at the entrance and hand these flyers out saying, hey, come to our youth group, you know, Friday night. And so on these flyers, we had come for some good crack, right? I'm like, I don't know if we should write that, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, come for some good fun. That's what we say. I'm like, all right. I'm like, that will never go over.
Yeah,
back in Canada.
Like, I would lose my job.
I would lose my job. And I would need a pretty hefty youth budget.
Yeah.
To fund those events.
You're like, listen, either we need a lot of money or we're starting a whole operation. We're just starting a whole
operation. That's right. And we're going to fund the rest of the ministry of the church.
So. No more. Anyways. When I was, because I'm in Northern Ireland just for a month.
Yeah.
We always used to get tripped up by trousers and pants.
Yeah.
So the amount of times we would like have just gotten a group of youth to like settle and kind of listen and engage, and then you slip up and you say pants, lost them. Takes another 20 minutes to get them back in,
yeah.
Focused in. Well, that is a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And we love having these conversations and that you join in with them, but they are even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics that you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at 905-937-5300, or you can email me at evan@bethanycc.ca. And I'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to answer some of your questions on the pod. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave us a quick rating or review. It's a really simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. A little bit of housekeeping before we go, just to let you know, the week following Easter, we're going to be taking a break, so we won't have a BCC recap pod then, but we'll be starting it back up with the new series following Easter. Thanks again to Martin for hanging out and joining us, and we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week.
Let's do it.